Hello, everyone. Welcome to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers blog. I'm one of your hosts, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I'm here with my co-host, Jim Osarski, also of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jim, here we are, week four. Packers are 1-1-1 and getting ready to face the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Big development of the week, Aaron Rodgers practiced on Thursday. Yeah. How about that, huh?
Yeah, that was a day after Mike McCarthy, put it out there that it was affecting the team in general of Aaron Rodgers not practicing. Lo and behold, there he is the next day.
Yeah. And it was, I thought his quote was pretty interesting. Yeah. He talked about how now not only does it just affect the play, but it affects the attitude.
Right.
And the, just the chemistry and the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Is that how you would put
it?
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, because if Mike McCarthy, basically said Aaron Rodgers has some swag without saying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's essentially what he said. And it wasn't just the offensive issues there either. I think it was, challenging a defense to a degree and whatever those practice reps are.
Right.
And let's not underscore the health part of it. For 2 weeks, it's been, hey, he's day-to-day, he's got to get treatments.
Right.
The hope was he could play into recovery, play into health.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, if you can practice on Thursday, that's the Packers' heaviest workload of the week, right?
Yeah, so padded practice.
Right. So I think it was a limited level, but it's still practice.
We don't know how much he practiced in the team drills,
right.
But because they kick us out. But he did everything before that. And to me, that sort of signaled that he was probably going to do a good number of team drills.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I saw immediately after. And I was thinking about McCarthy's comments while I heard that, or while I was thinking this, or while I was viewing this, was the tempo of the drills. They were doing drills with wide receivers. I mean, the ball's on the money. The very first ball Rodgers throws, Geronimo Allison does a curl. He throws it, just a laser right into Allison's hands, and he drops it. I mean, just like he was not ready for Aaron Rodgers' fastball.
To make a statement, and I'll tell you, so just to give people an inside view of how we look at practice, so we can see Hinkle Field. It's essentially a full sideline. The offense is towards the rush center,
mm-hmm.
right? And then this is
north end.
North end. And so now I'm at the other end of the field watching Kevin King work out. That the sound of the ball hitting Geronimo Allison's hands
made me
turn around.
Really?
And then so I look over and I see him reaching to pick up the ball.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Rodgers was like ecstatic. He was like, like he had just forced someone to drop a ball because he had thrown it so hard. But, then you watch, you see him and Kaiser lined up. They do a drill where they're lined up next to each other and they're running mirror routes. And you could put a stopwatch to it and Rodgers' ball is getting there, a quarter second faster, right on the money. And, of course, Kaiser's passes aren't as crisp. And you can imagine what that's done for practice the last couple of weeks. It's different.
Right, without a doubt. And now while, Rodgers said after the game Washington that he missed some throws he felt he would normally make, I've said this, and we've talked about this. I don't care what Joe Philbin or Mike McCarthy say about this guy not practicing and, he doesn't need... Maybe he doesn't need the reps, but I think it became clear, to me at least, against Washington, we talked about it in the post-game podcast, that it kind of caught up to him a little bit, I think.
It did, and I actually think it did catch up with him, too.
Yeah.
Because you would see some throws, some inaccuracies, some mistiming. The perfect example was a throw to Devontae Adams on that slant route. I mean, he throws that ball in his sleep.
Yeah.
And he threw it way behind him on a third down, and that was a key miss. He was a little more accurate as the game wore on, but I think, you know, he comes out a little bit rusty after not having practiced all week.
For sure. Yeah, as Mark McCarthy said, you know, if we didn't have to practice, we wouldn't, but you do.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, so to whatever degree limited means Thursday, I do think it's a positive step for this offense that really Tom has been searching for something. I mean, it's just, you know, the emotion and the adrenaline of the Bears game, I think once that wore off, you know, it's just been kind of eh.
Yeah.
I mean, through these last 2 weeks, I mean, 29 points and 17 points, it's just not, you know, and those are most field goals against Minnesota, too. So it's just the situational football, third downs, red zone, I think that's where you haven't seen that sharpness. And it's bit them a little bit.
Yeah. So just to go over a couple of injury issues on offense, Brian Bulaga was a surprise, to me at least, it was a surprise that he was in practice both days after missing the second half of the Washington game with back issues. Seems to be okay. They seem to not see any indication that he's not going to play.
No, yeah, he seemed pretty, and get kind of like as you said within the team drills, we can see, I mean, he looked full go as compared to the rest of the healthy linemen in the team.
Yeah, he was going through drills. Yeah, we didn't really – I mean, I wasn't down there. Did they do the one-on-one pass drill?
That one I did not see as they moved down. I guess what I mean by that is he wasn't sort of going in slower motion. Does that make sense? Like he was kind of – when the two linemen, offensive linemen together, were doing their – you know, explode out of the pass sets underneath. They've got this cage where they have to stay under to keep low. I mean, for a guy with a back injury, he had done those things.
Okay. Now, on the other side of the coin, Justin McCray did not practice.
No.
And I wouldn't completely rule him out because he's kind of the tough guy who might be able to do it. But they got to get Byron Bell. He's going to probably start for McCray at right guard, and that'll be kind of interesting.
Yeah,
they've got, you know, Buffalo has a pretty decent front, and Kyle Williams is probably the best inside guy, and I would think they'd work him against Byron Bell quite a bit if they can.
Kyle Williams, ageless wonder.
No kidding, no kidding. You know, and you know, I think Buffalo's defense isn't bad. I think they'll give them a little bit of a run there in the early going. Other injuries, not really on offense. Jimmy Graham returned to practice, said it was just a maintenance thing for him sitting out on Wednesday.
Yeah. Randall Cobb was the only new one, popped up as a limited participant on Thursday.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, with a hamstring.
Oh.
So that'll be something to monitor.
Good call. I didn't even see that on the injury report. All right. I think we should spend a lot of time on this blog talking about the defense, about Mike Pettine's defense, because if there's anything that's been really a head scratcher, it's been the inconsistency they've had, despite, I would say, being pretty healthy through 3 weeks. You know, the only major injury has been Muhammad Wilkerson,
right? Which happened in a game.
You
know, it didn't happen in a practice or something they've been waiting for.
Yeah. Broken ankle. He's done for the year, it appears. And they haven't put him on injured reserve. And you pointed out in the notes today that they attempted to get Brian Price to sign him off of Cleveland's practice squad. What do you know about that?
Yeah, so Brian Price, people might vaguely remember that name, you know, signed here as an undrafted free agent a few years ago.
Yeah.
Active, played, you know, kind of one of those bubble guys, cut, signed by Dallas.
Very hustle guy.
Yeah.
Just a really 100 million miles an hour.
And he's still young. He's 24.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, so he was young coming out. This was back in 16.
Yeah,
I want to say. Went to Cleveland, basically. Alonzo Highsmith and Elliot Wolf scooped him up. He actually played one game for Oakland. Kind of a victim of of roster issues and injury issues. And so, yeah, the Packers gave him a call on Tuesday, tried to get him to sign him to the 53.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland stepped up and said, hey, we'll pay you a full league minimum to stay here on this practice squad. And he just felt comfortable with Wolf and John Dorsey and Highsmith and clearly what they're doing in Cleveland.
Yeah. And that's not unusual. In fact, yeah. The Packers did the same thing when someone came after Price his rookie year. He was on the Packers practice
right.
squad. And they paid him a full base salary once that team came and tried to sign him. So they struck out there. We know they had Quinton Dial in for workout on Tuesday. They don't seem to be in a real rush
no.
to sign anybody. I guess they probably wanted to see what happened with Price before they moved on Dial, and they may still be looking around.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I know, you know, five defensive linemen is not. What's the difference with that with four? But I don't know. I mean, look, you had one guy get hurt,
mm-hmm.
and if if another one of those guys gets injured. You're really now, as we transition to talk about Petten's defense as a whole, Tom, I mean, you know, you're one play away from just having three D linemen and really extending those snap counts for those guys.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be, if I were the Packers, I wouldn't be as concerned if Nick Perry wasn't coming off a concussion, because he can always be put in there with his hand down, and
right.
he's pretty stout in the run game. So if you started to get short on defensive line, you could play him at end.
Right.
But he's in the concussion protocol, and we don't
right.
know what his status will be, although he did show up at practice, which is usually a sign that he's moved to a latter stage
right.
of the protocol.
Could Reggie Gilbert play a little bit with his hand on
yes.
the ground?
Yes, yes, and he has.
And he's did.
In some of those dime packages, he's played inside where they've had Matthews and Perry outside, and Gilbert
yeah.
is one of the inside rushers.
Yeah. So there are some lighter options.
But you don't want him.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another thing. Montrevious Adams may have some pass rush ability, but if you go back and look at one of the run plays, one of the Washington touchdowns, he got driven out of there so far, I swear he was sitting in Congress,
yeah.
you know?
I mean, right.
It was really pathetic, and he took out like two or three guys. He's got to yeah. get his act together and play. I mean, he's
yeah.
got to be able to stop the run.
Yeah, I was... So Wilkerson, that happens to him, and the fact that Adams only played six snaps, even with a major injury, and clearly when, A, the team is trying to come back, and B, Washington made it clear they're still going to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they clearly felt in-game he was not ready. And maybe that was it. Maybe they saw that in live speed
yeah.
that, and just say, you know what, this can't happen today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're going to need a lot out of Dean Lowry, that's for sure. And, you know, Daniels and Clark, they can't play them to death.
No.
You know, you gotta let those guys sort of save something for the
yeah.
end of the year.
Right.
Overall, we had a chance to talk to Petten on Thursday late afternoon. And I thought he had some interesting things to say. And one of the things that he had to address was, well, is this defense still figuring itself out? And I thought his answer was pretty good. And we're going to play that for you right now in our favorite segment.
Say what? Say what? Say what?
Yeah, I mean, I think every year is different, but it is the way the rules are nowadays. I think it's a little bit more difficult to kind of be in mid-season form this early when everything is new, when you're dealing with a new set of players, when you have a lot of guys, young guys that are on their first contract. But I mean, we're in the win business. I mean, this is the NFL. We don't have time to say, hey, listen, we'll be okay by mid-season. I mean, we got to get it done, and that's I think we need to ramp up our sense of urgency, and that starts with me. So it's been a point all week that whether it's between the slow starts and some of the things that we're busting that we shouldn't be, there's an urgency now to get that cleaned up.
I mean, I agree with what he's saying. That there is not much time to have to meld together into a unit. Right. I mean, I think he had some kind of tough words for, we got to do it, it's on me, all the usual stuff. But he's not kidding. They really do have to get it together.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is, here we are in week four, quarter point of the season, Tom, but, we're going back to the preseason to a degree where nobody plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So what, if that's the decision you make, to me, it's lame. It's a lame answer to say, well, because of the rules and it takes, we're not in midseason form so early. Well, you know what? Then make a decision earlier in the preseason to have your group together.
Right.
And actually run stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, if you're good at what you do, you could tell the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And still get the job done. I mean, it's. I'm going to sound like meatball fan here, fan guy screaming on the radio. But there is an element of truth to it, of line it up, and we're going to beat you if we're good at what we do and are solid and can execute it. And when you don't play it and practice it, young guy, whatever. Like, I don't know. So you have to fix it, and it's got to be better quicker.
Yeah.
So
let's go over what we think are some of the issues with the defense. And I'll start with what I've seen, and that was really bad safety play in the Washington game. Not so great safety play otherwise. Way too many missed tackles.
Yeah.
And I've been writing about this in my column on Sunday, so be sure you take a look at it. Some of the mistakes they're making have nothing to do with blown coverages. They have to do with not being good enough, not beating the guy across from them.
Yeah.
And that's a concern with your safeties and with some of your other players. But Clinton Dix is supposed to be, he was a Pro Bowl player one year.
Yeah.
And he's coming off a bad year, and I thought he was tentative and missed tackles. Kentrell Bryce, I don't know how long they can stick with him.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they have an option
beyond
him.
Right.
So I think there's a real big concern for this defense.
You're right. Is that a lack of talent? To a degree, maybe. If that's the question. Like, if they, we understand the coverage and you're sort of getting to the right spot, so why, on one hand, Mike Pettine might say, hey, these are NFL players, they're paid to tip your cap, but, at some point you have to feel your guys are better than their guys, right?
Yes.
and look, I do believe that Tremont Williams, Kevin King, when he returns, the two rookie corners. I think Bashad Breeland is a talent upgrade over a Devon.
We forgot
House.
To mention about the signing of Bashad Breeland.
So I think the corner room is talented, but they're going to pick on Josh Allen. Why wouldn't Josh Allen? Can only hit the side of a barn once every two throws.
Mm-hmm.
But if the middle of the field is wide open and the safeties are sort of, they can't find the ball or sort of drift out of a way or can't make a play. I mean, why not test it?
If I'm Joshua, I'll put money down right now, right here on the table. I'm throwing down $1,000 right on my wallet. Yeah. Josh Allen will throw a post route in the first two Bills series.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, he's going to throw a post route. If Kirk Cousins can hit a 75-yard touchdown and Alex Smith can hit a
46-yard wobbly touchdown of Paul Richardson.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Josh Allen's going to try the same thing, and they'll keep trying it till they stop it. It's pretty concerning, and, you know, we talked about this before we came on air, which was that Carolina signed Eric Reed, and, you know, the Packers, I'm kind of surprised they haven't. Well, I'm not surprised. I think they should have at least investigated.
At least work him out and see what he can do. And, whatever the reasons were and are, you know, for him being a free agent at this point. But it's still, look, if you're going to do the, you know, try to sign up Brian Price due to injury, sign up Rashad Breeland due to injury, so there's your front line, there's your corners. Mm-hmm. It would have made sense to look at, you know, no doubt one of the better free agent safeties on the market.
Yeah. Now, he's a limited guy.
Right.
He'd be a box safety, but, you know, they picked up Antonio Morrison. I mean, they traded for him. They picked up Corey Toomer.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Eric Reed signed a minimum wage.
Yeah, it's the one level of the defense they haven't really looked at, and it's burned them.
Yeah. And he's going to get up there and stick his nose in there and play some decent run defense. So that's a little quizzical to me. And then to think that Josh Jones is going to come in off of a three-week absence, period, Josh Jones, period, and be able to revive the safety position, I don't think so.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the thought from the front office. Yeah, right? I mean, because that's the one player that they haven't had that could potentially return this week. They're still saying he's practicing on a limited basis, so who knows. But
if he was that good, then how did he not beat out Kentrell Bryce during training camp? They obviously thought Kentrell Bryce was, better in tune with the defense than Josh Jones was.
Right. So you're right. And if you're an opposing team, Joe Witt couldn't have been happy. I mean, he told us before Washington did it that they were going to do it, and they did.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're right. And look, this Buffalo offense, it's almost a carbon copy of last week, Tom, where I said, hey, Washington doesn't push the ball down the field. They have, they're having issues making big plays. You know, I didn't think they'd be able to do it, and they did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the same thing in Buffalo. They're not a vertical offense, at least as of yet. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin's a name your average fan might know, but he's not even averaging double-digit yards per catch.
Right. 9.7 yards per catch. Yeah. It's probably a good week for them to face Buffalo, but again, I thought it was a good week for them to face Washington.
Right.
And it was not. The other aspect, I still believe that their corner position is pretty good, and that Jair Alexander is going to be a really good player. Josh Jackson will be a good player. Tremont Williams is having a terrific year so far. Now, Devon House wound up on injured reserve because of a shoulder injury, and they signed Bashaud Breeland, who was for sure the top corner prospect on the street. Had a deal with Carolina, was it 3 years, 27? Yeah.
3 years, 24, 11 guaranteed. So a good chunk of change.
And then he cut his foot on a golf cart in
the Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic.
Yeah, he said he was sitting on one, his foot was kind of hanging out, and a worker at the resort he was at clipped him driving another golf cart. And it reopened a wound, like I guess he had a skin graft.
When he was a kid.
Yeah, when he was a kid. And it just hit that right spot and reopened it. And
cost him $23 million or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Incredible. Because he's on a minimum wage deal here. But, you know, despite he was a four-year starter in Washington and had some tumultuous moments there, hasn't always been considered the best locker room guy, but he definitely has some talent.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think I'd be surprised if he plays this week. But I think I think they're okay at the corner position, and they just have to figure out what to do at safety. Now, another thing that would help them was pass rush.
Yeah.
And they're not getting that at all.
No. I mean, you know, for better part of 3 weeks now, you know, the national discussion around the Green Bay Packers has been about roughing the passer and Clay Matthews. But the only real sack he had was this one in Washington against Alex Smith. But the best that would have done was maybe force a punt two plays later in a three-score game. I mean, that's the best.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about a dominant pass rusher out of 52 anymore. Nick Perry, before the concussion, had the one late in the game against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny
Clark has had one.
Kenny Clark has had one, but you're not getting and Mike Daniels is pressuring.
I feel Mike Daniels is doing a good job pressuring. Not getting there, not finishing, but someone else has got to get there.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Perry's got to show up. I've been defending him for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he's finally ready to get going after missing all of training camp or what.
Right.
Reggie Gilbert's got to pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, he had the great training camp and seemed like he was hot coming out of the first week of the year. And, he's been kind of solid.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, Gilbert and every Packers fan favorite, Kyler Fackrell, more snaps, more regular of a rotation against Washington, and there was nothing to speak of.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a talent void on this team. Like, they could be an efficient defense, but they don't have enough playmakers.
No.
And now they've strengthened the corner position, which, if you ask me, okay, two positions you have to strengthen first, it would be corner and pass rush.
Yeah.
You know, outside linebacker for a 3-4. And now they got to go back and strengthen that next year.
Right.
Because there's nothing they're going to be able
if
to do.
If only there was a guy that was available before the season started that you could have traded for. Anyway. No, I. I'm curious with the Breland thing, Tom, the way. Mike Pettine has schemed thus far a lot of 7 DBs. You know, he some single high against Washington, right, where it's just Clinton Dix deep. Kentrell Bright, Jermaine Whitehead has played closer to the line at times.
He's
been used as a blitzer. Is it possible that Bashaud Breland enters the fray where now you've got Tremont Williams, Kevin King, Jair Alexander, and instead of a safety, it's a Bashaud Breland, because whether A, to help with coverage deeper down the field, or maybe just a quicker body to the quarterback than, or you know what I mean? Like, I'm just curious that where that might fit in.
I think that would take time for Breland, because he's been an
outside corner. Right.
And,
Josh Jackson could play
somewhat of a role like that, but he's a good, decent bump and run coverage guy, and you know, you don't want to take that away from them either. They got to figure out a way to either get those two safeties playing better, or somehow mitigate.
Right,
what their role is.
Yeah,
I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, right. That's why I'm curious. I to throw it out there, you know, just because you wonder how long does it take. I mean, Mike McCarthy was asked this week, did Kentrell Bryce lose his job? You know, I mean, how, you know, as we heard the Mike Pettine quote there,
right?
You know, you got to do it. So I'm just curious as to what point he pushes the envelope,
right?
And what he. And you can only push the envelope with the 46 you have or the 20.
Yeah, well, and I sort of wrote about this in the beginning of the week, too, which is he has to make a decision. Is he going to start bringing the heat? And, you know, if you've got corners who can cover, then, and you like your corners, then start blitzing people. The second half of the Washington game was the first time I saw him start to at least run some zone blitzes. He didn't run blitz more than 4 guys that often, but he started to bring 6 guys up to the line and make Alex Smith guess right. which ones were coming. And he was dropping different guys out. I think he's going to have to do a lot more of that, and I think he needs to do a lot of that against Josh Allen.
I was going to say, yeah, look, Alex Smith is, say people would say what they want about him, very smart. I mean, he's one of those quarterbacks who's literally seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do some things there, you should be able to do it against Josh Allen and Lambeau. I mean, frankly, you should be able to do it against Matthew Stafford and you know, whoever San Francisco is going to run out. So this is a good time for him to find that rhythm before right. it's Jared Goff and Tom Brady and crunch time of the middle of the season.
Okay. Let's talk about some matchups in this game. Let's, you know, offensively, offense versus defense, Buffalo's offense versus Packers' defense. So Buffalo wasn't – they dominated the game against Minnesota, but I wouldn't say they were dominant offensively.
No.
You know, they benefited from a couple of turnovers. Allen was pretty solid.
Yeah, it was his best game.
And his running ability is definitely something you got to defend.
Yeah, I think, you know, Mitchell Trubisky and Smith last week, I mean, it's kind of like when Aaron Rodgers is healthy.
Right.
You know, Mike Daniels can get that pressure, but then once you turn into scramble drill, those guys are harder to defend and bring down, and he's a big body. I don't know if, you know, Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator of Buffalo, wants him hurdling more linebackers in the open field.
I don't think so, but, you know, we did ask McDermott about it, and he said, you know, you can't totally harness this guy because
right.
it's a weapon.
Right, yeah, especially because, again, he can't really complete passes yet.
And he's 6'5".
Yeah.
He's 6'5", 237. He's not, it's not the same as even Rodgers
right.
running. It's
right.
just not. He's a big, big man.
Yeah, and these and honestly, you know, none of these guys know how to hit a quarterback anymore. So,
yeah,
it's probably more of a weapon than you would think. But so defensively, I think the Packers match up well because I don't believe Kelvin Benjamin is a difference maker. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a big body. Zay Jones is interesting.
Second round pick.
Yeah, a catch and run kind of guy. But again, Charles Clay's on their injury report. He's a good tight end.
Mm-hmm. Solid.
Yeah, I mean, well, Vernon Davis looked like he went in the time machine last week. So I guess Charles Clay could potentially be a problem.
Yeah.
For the middle of this defense. To me, Tom, this is a get healthy game for Mike Pettine's group. It has to be.
It should be.
It has to be.
Now, Is LeSean McCoy, you know, a factor? I mean, I don't know what his injury situation is.
That's a great question. Broken ribs, hasn't practiced. I mean, he's practiced, but he's worn, I mean, quite literally, the red jersey in Bills practices.
Mm-hmm.
Don't touch him. So that's a pain management issue. It's a wind issue. And obviously, you know, how many hard hits can a guy like that take?
Yeah.
But if he's on the field, you have to respect it.
You do. He's a really good player. But through three games, Josh Allen's their leading rusher with 97 rushing yards.
Right. And Chris Ivory's a good option. And look, speaking of getting in the time machine, I mean, Adrian Peterson, it looked like it was 2015.
Yeah.
You know, so on one hand, I do think this is a good matchup for the Packers, but they have to prove it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's look at the other side, Buffalo's defense, which I think is better than what it was in their first
yeah.
three games of the year.
Yeah,
they have some serious talent on there. Tremaine Edmonds, the first
yeah.
round pick, is a guy. You know, I thought Green Bay should have been really interested in.
Yeah,
really a quick guy and can cover the field.
Yeah.
He leads them in tackles right now.
Right.
Everybody knows about Micah Hyde as
yeah.
one of their safeties. But to me, Trent Murphy and Jerry Hughes, if they play well, I think their defense plays well.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you're two edge pass rushers. So David Bakhtiari gets another one.
Mm-hmm.
And Hughes, Murphy's interesting. You know, a sack and a half already. Missed all of last year with injury. You know, I think that's kind of the matchup there on that right side. you know, because you assume Brian Bulaga is going to play. But now if we're talking about a back injury, does it lock up on him? Is it, I mean, what was it, right? Does he, you know, and I would imagine, especially if Byron Bell is going to start next to him, Leslie Frazier, Sean McDermott are going to kind of try to do some games over on that right side.
Their corners, Tre'Davious White, you know, heck of a year last year. And Philip Gaines, I don't know as much about him. But, you know, I think they got to work their wide receivers. They got to take advantage of Davante Adams. I think they have to get him the ball more.
Yeah. And you know, you figure White will draw that assignment. Mm-hmm. This is the one part, you know, Buffalo to me was rebuilding, and then sort of with Tyrod Taylor and the way that went last year, just sort of arrived ahead of schedule. This is, so they tore the offense down, but this is the element of the team that helped them win 9 games, mm-hmm. was this defense. Mm-hmm. Sean McDermott knows how to call it. Actually, stripped Leslie Frazier of those play call duties after week one, gave it back to him, and then they game ball to Leslie Frazier. So, I mean, whatever's going on there, this is the group that they feel best about.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of works in progress, that's exactly what they are. And Sean McDermott has a lot of things up his sleeve. He can be a blitzing guy, you know. Right. He comes from the Jim Johnson school of defense in Philadelphia, and so he's got a lot of things up his sleeve. So I'm sure they'll throw some things at Rodgers. Anything else stands out to you about this game other than it's noon and we should be
right?
Good?
Noon, right. The one thing I'm curious, what did you think of? You know, Mike McCarthy was pressed a little bit later in the week about the three running back thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he's, you know, he kind of stood firm on, we got three, and I feel good about three, and that's the way.
I'll tell you what, that is the biggest pile of heap of steaming dung that I've ever heard. I tell you, he goes in every year, we're going to share the ball, we're going to, you know, and then as soon as one guy gets hot, he just, he'll go with him. And then it's going to be Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
You know, it's just going to be Aaron Jones. We saw it in the first game. He had 8 yard, 10 yard, 17 yard carry, and everybody's been talking about him in the locker room. Yeah. So he's the guy. I like Jamal Williams. I do. I think he's got a role on this team. Ty Montgomery has been better than what I expected of him this year. I'm still waiting for him to get hurt.
Yeah.
But Aaron Jones has to be your number one back.
Yeah.
Hands down. And I guess I'm tired of beating that drum. It's time for me to
he's got to do it. I mean, if you're going to beat the, you know, someone's got to respond to it then, you know. And you know, again, this is sort of an opportunity, I guess, for them to establish something on offense.
Well, they got to start listening to me. I mean, I think that's the biggest problem they have going in this organization is that they refuse to,
without a doubt,
listen to me. You know, hurts my feelings.
Oh.
They don't like my opinion. Anyway, okay, so you can tell we're a little bit, or I'm a little bit punch drunk here. It's been a long day, and so we will be back after the Buffalo game, as usual.
Yeah.
Make sure you check all our coverage, pregame coverage, on Sunday. Don't forget the live blog on Sunday, and what else? Anything else?
Man, so, well, yeah, you know what? Make sure to download and subscribe to jsonline.com and the Packers News app.
That's right. And if you want to send us envelopes of cash, my address. Anyway. All right, I'm going to play the music and we're out of here. See you next time.